Jonathan Lethem is legendary among his fellow writers for his voracious reading and also his prodigious habit as a book collector. After dropping out of Bennington College, where his classmates included Donna Tartt and Bret Easton Ellis, following his freshman year, he continued his education and fed his acquisitive hobby by working in the used bookstores in Berkeley, California. There, he read everyone from Asimov to Zweig and began developing his own unique literary style, a blend of high art cut with a pulpy sensibility that has defined his career as one of America's most acclaimed genre blenders. A writer whose highbrow stew freely mixes in ingredients from sci-fi, mysteries, film noir, rock and roll, comic books, screwball comedy, you name it. He was born in Brooklyn in 1964, the son of Richard Lethem, an avant-garde painter, and Judith Frank Lethem, a political activist, who divorced when Jonathan and his two siblings were still young. Judith's death, when Jonathan was 13, created a void that has shaped his world and, inevitably, his work. As he told journalist Jackie McGlone in 2007, "My books all have this giant, howling, missing center. Language has disappeared, or someone has vanished, or memory has gone." That absence is felt most famously in Motherless Brooklyn, about an orphaned, Tourette's-afflicted private detective, and The Fortress of Solitude, about the friendship between two motherless teens. But the sense of loss is palpable to greater or lesser degrees in each of his novels. He's written 11 to date, along with 3 short story collections, a handful of novellas, and enough nonfiction to fill several volumes. We met Jonathan at the Four Seasons Hotel in Seattle, while he was in town to promote his most recent novel, The Feral Detective. A hard-boiled broadside against the values of Trumpist America, it is, for want of a better phrase, utterly Lethem-esque.
What are you reading now?
This morning on the plane, I finished Chelsea Johnson's Stray City, which was fantastic, so human. I felt bad for the person in the seat next to me, because I was crying quite a bit at the finale. Maybe I'll pick something out tonight at Elliott Bay Books to read on the way home.
Since you're living in Southern California now, have you read The Nowhere City by Alison Lurie?
I love that book. I'm a big Alison Lurie fan, and that's one of my 2 or 3 favorites. I always feel like it's a bittersweet thing when you say that some living writer is unappreciated, but I think she is. I think she's a treasure, a writer who does the novel in such a pure sense. In some ways, she's more like an English writer. Not that she doesn't have American themes, but that quality of being committed to the traditional novel and fulfilling its terms so beautifully.
Speaking of English writers in Southern California, I know you're a fan of Hollywood novels. Have you read Gavin Lambert?
Oh, yeah. The Slide Area, which is a book of interconnected short stories. There actually are a lot of good Hollywood novels. It's a substantial genre.
Do you have a favorite other than the obvious choice, The Day of the Locust by Nathaniel West?
In some ways, as much as Miss Lonely Hearts, also by Nathaniel West, means to me, I think I feel closer to The Day of the Locust for being a little more novelistic, a little less like a T.S. Eliot poem in prose form. I also really like Don Carpenter's Turnaround. He has 3 Hollywood novels, but I think Turnaround's the best one. Also, his final novel to be published, Fridays at Enrico's, which I had a hand in helping finish, is partly a Hollywood novel. Carpenter specialized in portraying development, the producer and writer tandem, working together and trying to make something happen. There's a really good Hollywood novella hidden inside the sprawl of Fridays at Enrico's. As with a lot of his things, he doesn't write about the myth. He writes about the reality of California or the West, and he does the same thing with the film industry.
You're sort of a legendary book collector. Can you talk about that?
Sure, yeah. I collect autographed books in particular, partly because you need something to distinguish your pursuit. I worked in used bookstores for 15 years. And I had access to all kinds of amazing things. And I realized I could collect everything, and then my house would be, well, it is a problem anyway. I sort of have 2.5 houses and my academic office that are overflowing with books. But I realized at some point that I wanted to have certain limits. And so I mostly collect writers that I think of as not widely collected. There are writers I love who are obvious, but I just don't think of them as mine, to collect.